Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
I love him every day. I love him on bad days. You know why I love him so much on bad days? Because he's going to show off for me. He's going to come through for me. And it's just going to build my faith and build my trust even more. And that's going to give me something to shout about. Amen? Put your head in the sand when you have a bad day. Amen? Praise God. It's so good to see everybody here tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I feel it because, Brother Needland's out of town. Sister Janet's out of town. And, man, they are scraping bottom. Scraping bottom for ministers here tonight. And we're going to need a week of fast and prayer to straighten up this mess here tonight that I'm about to deliver to you. Amen. So at any point, Brother Aubrey, you want to take off running, shouting, get this spark to go ahead. Amen. No, pray. I feel a word from the Lord here tonight. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord one more time. Let's give him our best praise. God bless you. May be seated. I know it's a great honor for Pastor and Sister Needland to be at POA, giving honor to Brother Anthony Mangan and Sister Mickey. They are phenomenal people, and they're wonderful people, and I miss my pastor here tonight. I really miss him tonight. You know, I heard a long time ago, if you have a good doctor, he'll keep you out of the hospital. If you have a good lawyer, they keep you out of jail. But if you got a good pastor and a good church, they'll keep you out of hell. Amen? I'm glad I got a good pastor, and we definitely got a great church. Amen? Praise God. And every Sunday, it's a masterpiece. I've been to some churches where it was, you know, every 6 weeks or every 2 months or maybe once a quarter, they just knock it out of the park. It's a general conference message, but we get it every week. And I know you got friends. If you shout about it and you tell them about what all is going on in this church, your friends are probably tired of hearing you every week. I know I said that last week, but, man, I'm telling you, this week was even better. And we are blessed. And I'm blessed here tonight to have my mom and dad here. They drove all the way from Boise, Henry Robertson Road, to come hear me. And... hey, I remember years ago they told me, Ryan, we drove all over the state to watch you play basketball and football and track and lose. Watch you fumble the ball. We'll drive across town to hear you preach. Amen? Thank you. Good to have my family and my brand new little boy, Jackson Ryan. Amen. He's not named after Jack Markintel. He's named after his wife, my wife Jacqueline. But she's named after her dad, so just in case you're curious. And I think Ryan is after me, in case you didn't know. But I'm his dad. And amen. Don't touch his face. Hey, I'm telling you, you start learning a lot when you become a parent, you know. And I've seen a lot of mama bears come out in women and moms through the years. But when I had my little boy, Papa Bear started coming out. I never used that Germex. My whole life, I stick my finger in my ear, my nose, and I'll eat right from there. But when I started having a kid, my hands are so dry from all that Germex putting it on. And God, I'm scared I have Ebola. I'm about to pass it on to my kid. I better get in these notes. But I don't know if they're going to be much better. But, amen. Thank y'all for loving me and my family. We appreciate it. And if you're a first-time guest, I'm sorry that you're having to deal with me. But please come back next week. It will be better. The music will be the same. Just the message will be a lot better. And everything you heard is true. But, brother, you know, when you have a great pastor, every now and then, everybody needs to pull on him a little bit. If he wasn't good, nobody would want him. and wouldn't want him to come and minister. And but he's great, and he's going to pay honor to someone. Praise the Lord. I remember when I was younger, of many things that my parents would always say to me, but there's one particular. If they got would bring me somewhere and drop me off, I'd always turn around, whether it was going to school or drop me off to Skate Land. Do people still go to Skate Land? Is that still open? No? Okay. But I mean, I put a lot of, I bought a lot of Star Crunches and a lot of Cokes. I rode them many times around that skating rink. I know Pentecost, we don't do it, but I did it. And, you know, George Strait, Baby Blue, I've listened to it all. I tell you, it's going to get better. Hold on. But I remember even during the summer at the swimming pool, they go and they drop me off, and even at church. And I remember my mom and dad always tell me and my brothers, it is to your benefit to be on your best behavior. And I could hear that all the time. We get ready to stop. Hey, if they getting ready to go out of town and it's all five kids at home, it's to y'all's benefit to be on your best behavior. And I really didn't know what that meant. But I found out many a times. But even today, I'm married. You know, we have a little boy, Hadley, now. He's 3.5 years old, and we go somewhere, and Jacqueline even tell him, Hadley, it's to your benefit to be on your best behavior. And then she'll look at me, and you too. But a benefit, an advantage, or a profit gained from something. Amen? It's an advantage. If you're ever interviewing for a job, you want to change company, or you want to make sure the place you're going has a great benefit package. Amen? Yes, things you make sure they got good pay. You know, make sure they're providing health insurance or great vacation or retirement plan or maybe college tuition reimbursement. It's that benefit package. And one thing that a lot of believers don't realize that once we enter and to join the kingdom of God, there is a benefit package that becomes accessible to us. Amen? A lot of believers don't know that, but here are some of the benefits that are available to them. Here's Psalms 103, verse 2. Here's David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, and who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm talking about a believer's benefit package. Here is David talking to his soul, to his emotions. I believe it's okay every now and then to talk to yourself. Yeah? Now, you might not want to go down the street talking to yourself, but every now and then to get alone in a room and you know, and begin to talk to your emotions. Hey, you can do this. We can make it through this. Amen? Get your head. The Lord's been there. He's done too much for you. Amen? You got to talk to yourself. That David begins to tell his soul, you need to praise the Lord. Also, you need to remember the benefits that you have received because you are a child of God. This is what he tells himself. Then he begins to list them. But today we're only going to talk about the first benefit that he mentioned. In Psalms 103, verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives. Somebody say forgives. Who forgives all your iniquities. This morning or this evening, the title of my message is Divine Forgiveness. Divine Forgiveness. You and I must understand that once we receive divine forgiveness, that we, when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what's accessible to us. But today I'm going to tell you two things that will help you better understand this benefit of divine forgiveness. The first thing you must understand is about the divine benefit of forgiveness is that God removes our transgressions. He removes them. Now, there's two words that actually describe sin, but I'm going to choose just one word, and that's the word transgression. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 12, it says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins." Now, that's worth shouting about right there. No, you was bad, mom and dad didn't whip you about it. They didn't give you a spanking, they didn't punch you, or a whooping. Anybody ever had a whooping before? Amen. I've had them before, too. I've had them with heels, I've had some switches, I've had belts, I've had train tracks. I mean, I've had them all, just whatever they can grab, amen? They didn't have CPS. Is it CPS? I don't know if they had that back in the 80s. My parents wouldn't be here tonight. And I probably wouldn't be either if they didn't keep me straight. But he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. God removes our transgressions. Now tonight, I want to explain to you the difference between iniquity and transgression, because you can read over this and just really not have an understanding about it. But you've got to understand the Word of God. You got to have that revelation. When you read the Bible, you'll see these words many times throughout Scriptures, and they both are a form of sin, but you need to know that there is a difference. Amen? It's very important, and it would help you understand how we sin or miss the mark. Iniquity is the inward motivation that drives us towards sin. It's the inward motivation that drives us towards sin. Transgression is the outward movement. It's the outward movement. Iniquity is the heart. It's the inside. It's the mind. Transgression is the hand. It's the outside. Iniquity is the attitude. It's on the inside. Iniquity. It's on the inside. That's what Hallie does. Iniquity. Popeyes. Say it, Dad. I said, "Baby, I got that one down. 420 West Forest, I know where it said." Iniquity is the attitude, the inside. Transgression is the action, is the outside. We must understand that they are both sins. And the Pharisees, they taught a false doctrine saying that as long as you transgress the outside, as long as you don't transgress, is not sin. But when it comes to lust, they were basically saying that it was okay to window shop as long as you don't purchase anything. But when Jesus came along, he has something different to say about that. And I'm going to tell you this, anything Jesus said, that should take priority over what everyone else says. Amen? Jesus' words should trump everything. And he said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, he says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." That's the transgress. "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully," iniquity, the inside, "has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, look, I know I'm not trying to be an evangelist, come here and not talk about sin. This is really going to be a good message. Amen? I'm not pounding here tonight. I believe we're going to see the goodness of God here tonight. Amen? So just stay with the boy. Help the boy out. Amen? That's what Brother Hing would say. Help the boy out. I'm not from Vernon Parish. I'm from DeQuincy. Amen? I was part of Eastern Heights. Then I moved to the west side. I grew up in Boise, but help the boy out. But he said, "You should not commit adultery," the transgress. "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully," the iniquity, "he has already committed adultery with her in his heart." If your heart's in it, if it's in your heart, you've already committed the sin. He goes on to say, Matthew 5, verse 21, he says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, but transgress. And anyone who murders with will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry," "the iniquity, the inside, with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment." Iniquity, transgression. The inside, the outside. It makes a difference. You know, you say, "Well, at least I didn't say it." Well, it makes a difference if you thought it, if you're dwelling on it. You got to get that out of you. Amen? You got to get that seed of bitterness out of you. You got to get down, find an altar, and get that out of you. Flesh, you give it to the Lord. Repent of it. Let the blood of Jesus get it out, because I'm going to tell you that God is looking at it. He's concerned about it. Your kid's future is concerned about what's on the inside of you. It's going to come out of you. Amen? He was trying to let them know that iniquity is also sin. Remember, iniquity is dealing with the inside, and transgression is dealing with the outside. And here's another way to remember: iniquity, the inside, transgression, means to trespass, means to step over a boundary. You trespass. You ever seen those no trespass signs? You stepped over it anyway? Got your pants torn at barbed wire fence? No fishing sign? That's the best place to fish right there? That's trespassing. I'm not saying admit tonight to it, but we've heard of people who've done that. Do not turn around this driveway. That means don't turn around those people's driveway. We've done that. Why is it, when we see things we're not supposed to do, why is that so attractive to us? It's like there's a pot of gold out there that we just don't know about. But I want to show you a verse of Scripture tonight just to show you how awesome our God is. We're talking about transgressions and iniquities, the inside sin, the outside sin. Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities." A wound is an outward bleeding. It's bleeding on the outside. And a bruise, it's the same as bleeding, but it's on the inside. And Jesus was the perfect atonement and our sacrifice for our sin. He shed blood from the sins on the inside of us, and he shed blood for the sins on the outside. When he went to the cross, his work was complete. Whatever sins, whatever it is you're carrying, whatever you committed, God's work can cover it. Amen. That cross right there is symbolic of the work of Jesus Christ. That is symbolic of his sin for you and for me. He knew about it. He knew about today in 2020, all the things that we've done up to this point. You knew what he said? It's well worth it. It's well worth it. He had a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane where he was battling with. The flesh got a hold of him. He was fighting, "Should I do this? God, let this cup pass from me." But I believe he reached into his back pocket and he pulled out a picture. And he was looking at that picture. And that was a picture of me and you today. Knowing what all we've done, knowing what all we're going to do, he said, "It's well worth it anyway. Take me to the cross. Lay their sins upon me. I'm going to take it all the way. I'm going to endure every bit of it. It's well worth it because I love them. I'm going to shed blood for the sins, the things they're going to do on the outside, and I'm going to shed things that only I can see on the inside." Amen? That only I can see. Only things I know about. He did a complete work for us. God removes our transgressions. What does that mean that he has removed our sins, or what does it mean, or how far has he removed them? Psalms 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." How far as the east is from the west? Infinite. Infinite. You can head north and you can get to the North Pole and you'll see Santa Claus there. You hang out with him, question why he didn't bring you all those gifts. You know, well, he was on the naughty list. And when you leave there, keep heading the same direction, you're going to be heading back south. But if you head out east, Just going to keep on walking. It'll never stop. You'll never get to a point to where you're heading back. And that's what God's saying. I have removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. I know this is elementary to you. I'm not challenging your theology tonight. But what I'm trying to do is get you to apply it to your life and apply it to your mind, your heart. You know, there's a lot of times we're hearers of the word, but we're just not doers of it. Amen. We got to begin to apply this word, because there's some guilt and there's some shame and there's some regret in our lives. And God's saying, I have taken that sin from you and I have removed it. Thank you, Lord. He says, removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's infinite. God has completely removed and done away with our sins. But some of us think that God is in heaven. He has this filing cabinet with our name on it. And every time we go and we bow down or we're and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, that he goes and he opens up this filing cabinet. And I'm going to pick on even Brother Kellogg back here. I'm going to pick. I know he's a fisherman. Now, I don't know what I'm about to say. I don't know if any of this is true. I'm just saying it. So I'm not saying no one's ever told me. Brother Billy, it's like you ask God to forgive you for telling fish stories, fish lies, what all you've done, you know, and God, I know I should have told him about that when I was at, you know, about what I did at Toledo. I know, you know, that really wasn't the truth. I told Brother Bankers that I did this, and that really wasn't honest, you know. But it's like God has a filing cabinet with our name on it, and said he goes and God, you know, it's like I remember this, that you coming to me about that. And he grabs that file, and he just opens it up, and he just begins to walk, opening that cabinet all the way up. And this, man, that's a long cabinet. That put some support beams in that one. And he goes over and says, seems like I remember that, the fishing story. Fishing, like, yeah, here, 2017. 21 times he told fish stories, all ranging from lying about the location, how many you caught, the size, the bait, you know, just lied about it. Told people something totally different. Didn't want them to catch on to your story. Should have just told them, man, I really won't tell you, you know. But it seems here, 2018, 15 times you got better. A little progress there. Well, in 2019, 98 times. Gone downhill. And it's like, hear me, shut this filing cabinet. Shut that door, drawer. That's a long drawer. But some of us think that's what God does, that he has this filing cabinet on this store with everything that we've done. And every time we go to him, and every time we kneel down, we talk to him, that there's this thought in our mind that God has reminded us, you have done this before. You keep coming to him, and like he's putting his guilt trip. But God said, I'm not doing that. When you come and lay this down on the altar before me, that I pick this up, and I just toss that entire filing cabinet into the sea of forgiveness as far as the east is from the west. That's how much our God loves you. And whenever the disciples come to him, he said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Should it be only seven times? He already had an answer. He said, oh no, 70 times seven. Just keep forgiving. And that's what God's going to do for me and you. He's just going to keep forgiving the sins on the inside and the sins on the outside. I want to start this new year off not looking behind me, but looking forward, that I've got everything behind me. I'm going into this new year. But that's how we think. And you need to know that once you receive this divine forgiveness and God throws your fall away, he throws as far as the east is from the west. God removes our transgressions. Now, the second thing you must understand about this benefit of divine forgiveness is that God does not remember our sins. He removes them, and then he don't remember them anymore. Now, there's some people that I forgave, but I didn't forget about it. I marked them, you sorry dog. I know you don't. I'm just being honest this morning. Amen. I'm not going to trust you again. I'm not going to depend on you again. I'm not going to bless you again. You're going to misuse my blessings. You're going to misuse the money. But God's saying, I don't do that. I forgave you, and I ain't remembering it no more. I'm still going to call on you. I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to remember you. I still want to do great things for you. I still got a great anointing on your life. You know, all the stories in the Bible, I told a Sunday school class this morning, all the stories in this Bible, all the people that you consider as a hero of faith that you draw your strength from, that you draw your hope from, these are all men and women that failed. This is not a book where there were no divorces. There was no bankruptcy. There was no suicide. They all struggled. Every story that you and I draw our strength from and our hope from, that we quote scriptures from, David himself tonight failed. You're not going to find perfect marriages in here. But you're going to see where God came along, and he stood beside him. And then what we sung about tonight, he made a way. Amen. He said, David, if you'll just pick your head up. Moses, if you'll forget about that. Noah, if you'll come along. Daniel, come along beside me. Rahab, I know you're a prostitute. That's okay. Esther, let's go. I know you're nothing, but come on. We're gonna change the world for God's sake. God, he doesn't remember our sins or our mistakes anymore. He doesn't remember them. But remember means to recall or to bring something up for use. When you study for a test, you hope that you recall what you study for. Amen, Morgan? Hey, they laid that test down before me like, oh, Lord, I don't recall this. You know, all of a sudden my back started getting tense. I had to stretch a little. Look over there. You know, I had to turn around and see, checking on my buddies back there, seeing how they're doing. You know, Ryan, eyes on your paper. Hey, my eyes are on my paper. You get your eyes on your paper. God, help me. Lord, help me. Help the poor boy. You hope you recall what you've studied for when it comes time to take a test. Husbands, we hope we remember our wedding anniversaries. Before the day before. Well, we remember our spouses' birthdays and our kids' birthdays. Amen? We remember, recall. But God has chosen not to recall or remember or bring up your past. Once you repent, he loves you so much and he wants to be in relationship with us so bad that he purposely chooses not to remember our past. Now that is divine forgiveness. Isaiah 43 and 25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. He said he's doing it for his own sake so he can have a relationship with you. I want to be in a relationship with you. I'm doing this for my sake. I choose not to remember your iniquities, your sins. Now, let me tell you who will bring it up. I didn't say your mother-in-law. I didn't. We'll just keep it in the Bible. I'll say Satan. I tell you, with no good. But Satan will, the accuser of the brethren. He loves to bring up your mistakes. He loves to bring up your past. He loves to bring up your setback. He loves to throw that in your face. He wants you to go through life looking in the rearview mirror, looking back at all the mistakes that you made. But you know what? It's hard to go forward in life when you're looking backwards. Amen? Now, we're driving down the road, and Hadley's in the back. Dad, look at this. Dad, look at that. Dad, look at this. Babe, I can't. Yes, you can. You know, I'm constantly looking, and I can't look at everything. I can't go forward looking backwards. Amen? Philippians chapter 3 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. It's forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm forgetting those things are behind. I know they were big. I know they were disappointing. I know they hurt people. I know people haven't forgot about it. But I know that my God has. And if I'm going to be successful, if I'm going to be great for my family, I'm going to leave a legacy, if I'm going to make a difference, I've got to put that behind me, and I've got to go forward on down the road and make a difference. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Some of us need to stop dwelling on our past mistakes. I've heard so many believers say, well, I would, but I'm not God. I can't forget my mistakes. And that's what where we misquote the Bible. And what we must understand, that nowhere in the Bible did God ever say that I'm going to forget your sins. He said, I'm going to choose. Go back to Isaiah 43:25. He says, I will not remember. I choose not to remember your sins. God is omniscient. He knows everything, and he chooses not to remember. He has knowledge of everything that you've done, that I've done. But when it comes to our sins, after we truly repented, the Bible says he chooses not to remember. He has knowledge of it, but he chooses not to bring it up again. In that regard, you can be like God. You can choose not to bring up your past again. It's under the blood. Amen. It's under the blood. I'm not who I used to be. Such were some of you, but you've been washed. Amen? Hey, you've been sanctified. You've been justified. You've been set apart. Thank God. If we can't rejoice, that is our message. If we can believe that for everyone else, but we've got to start believing it for ourselves. That when I ask God to forgive me, it's done. Then it might not be done with man. There might still be a little, I may make some choices that I have to deal with for the next couple years. There might be a little residue. But I'm going to tell you, there'll come a time that people begin to see that they saw the difference in your life and the lifestyle changes. As time goes on, they won't remember that person no more, but they remember the person of righteousness and integrity and that you've been walking in. And they'll know, hey, I'm not going to invite him to do that no more. He's not who he used to be. Amen? Just going to keep on walking. God does not remember our sins. He chooses not to remember. Thank you, Lord. Man, I'm closing. Y'all go ahead and come on. I heard a story here recently, and it's a true story. I had to check my facts, but it is a true story, but I heard a story about a man that late one evening he was went to the ATM, and he went to the bank was closed, but he went drove through the ATM to the drive-thru and made a withdrawal. Drove forward, went kind of parked off to the side to check the receipt, put everything in his wallet, get everything safe. You know, didn't want to drive down the road, fooling with his money and his card and all that, but. But while he was doing all that, he heard sirens, cops coming. And he said, man, I sure hope everything's okay. I feel sorry for whoever they're after, because it sounds like there's a lot of them. But it wasn't too much longer that he found himself at the bank, the back, surrounded. And sat there. Oh, goodness, what's happened? And things began to run through his mind of years ago, long in his past, some choices that he made, and thinking, have they caught up with me? Began to call home and say, hey, look, you need to come help me. I'm about to get in some trouble here. I'm not sure what's about to happen. And as he sat there, the officers would come up to him and said that, begin to question, you know, what are you doing here? What's going on? Well, I went to the ATM back here just, you know, sitting tight right now before I head out on the road. And what's the problem? Well, the alarm has gone off in the bank. Silent alarm. Talk about being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And said, can we see your driver's license? Let's just run that real quick and just Here's my life. What are they going to find? Are things of my past going to catch up with me? They pulled the license, ran it, read it, and walked back. Here you go, sir. You have a wonderful day. Totally misunderstanding. And as he drove off, contacted his wife, let him know, I don't think that stuff's there anymore. They just let me go. Ran my background and just come to me, handed me, sir, you're just in the wrong place, the wrong time. You have a wonderful day. And you know, there's a lot of us walking through life today. It's just wondering, is God going to bring that up? What's God thinking about me? Am I really forgiven? And I'm going to tell you, there was a heavy load, weight lifted off that man that night. And I'm going to tell you, everything tastes different when a weight, when a burden's lifted off of you. You sleep different when you know your past is not going to catch up with you no more. Amen? When God makes a way. And I want to tell you here tonight, if you truly repent of your past, your sins, tonight you can walk out of here with a yoke lifted off of you. With weight, I'm talking deep, dark sins. I'm talking about things that you don't even want to share with your spouses. You wouldn't even want to share with the minister of God. But there's only things that you and God need to talk about. And I'm telling you, God said, whosoever comes, it doesn't matter what you've done, that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to lift every sin, wash away every stain. I'm talking from the front row to the back row, from the poorhouse to the penthouse. God has made a way for you, and God can cleanse you of your sins. And God's here tonight to save you and to deliver you and to help you in every way that you need possible. Go ahead, come on. So here tonight, this is how we're going to end this message here tonight. I'm not going to open up the altar for just someone to step out if you need God to help you, because you know what? Minds start racing. What do they do? What are they doing? Oh, so-and-so should have stepped out. I've been there. I've had the white knuckles gripping the seat. God, I need to go. But tonight, this is what we're going to do. We're going to come as a church family. Well, I don't want there to be a soul. If you can't make tonight, if you got a baby or you're just not able to, but I want everybody. I want us to come and I want us to pack as close as we can to these altars. Won't y'all just go ahead and make this way here tonight? And I know we've already prayed and the beginning of this year has already started. But as we get ready to start this week of prayer and fasting, if there's anything, God, search my heart.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.